the 4th of July is one of my favorite times of the year. Typically, I love the majestic music, the patriotic rhetoric, the stunning fireworks, and the warmth of communities coming together to celebrate this special day. Some of that was true this year. I took a long walk by the bayou. In the distance, I could hear the marching music of John Philip Sousa and a young female voice singing the national anthem. I watched with joy the young boys and girls riding in their red, white, and blue decorated wagons, pushed by proud parents on their way to an annual neighborhood 4th of July parade. A fragment of emotion stirred my heart as I wiped sweat from my forehead and noticed the stillness and peacefulness of the body of water on the bayou by which I walked. But something was missing. Something so palpable I reached trying to touch it. Almost every Independence Day, I look at the art that depicts the Statue of Liberty with a tear or tears falling from the eyes of Lady Liberty. This year, I understood those paintings for the first time. If I'm honest with myself and try not to please other people by faking happiness today, I have to admit a profound sadness is shrouding my presence and muting both my laughter and my songs. Don't get me wrong. I live in the only country in the world in which I want to live. Every day that I worked in Washington, D.C., I stared at the Washington Monument, felt my heart beat a little faster as I drove by the Jefferson Memorial, and looked at the Capitol building, whether up close or from a distance, with awe. These art-touched chunks of marble mean something to me. A ravenous hunger for freedom. The sacrifices that have been made to preserve freedom. The ideas and promises inherent in we the people. A devotion to justice for all people, and a commitment to true religious freedom in which there is no entanglement between the institutions of religion and the institutions of government. But it's not the same this year. I am profoundly sad because I am profoundly afraid. I hate what's happening in the highest offices of our government. The Supreme Court is changing the definition of religious freedom in a manner that is compromising the promise and the future of religious freedom. A shamefully politicized Congress is committed to partisan victories that are considered more important than the welfare of all the people in our nation. The president is an embarrassment who makes no attempt to hide the fact that his vision is to get everything he wants, even if that requires ignoring everything the people in this nation need. My disturbing, deep dissatisfaction with Donald Trump is no longer about politics alone. It's about decency. I viscerally despise his erosion of the dignity that long has been associated with the presidency. His arrogant, egotistical, and dirty-mouthed rhetoric is offensive to all that has been the best of America. His ignorance of government, insensitivity of speech, and lack of care for this nation is angering as well as disheartening. His hot-heated ways and irresponsible flares of wild emotions scare me badly when I think of the reasoned mind that is essential in protecting our freedom, guaranteeing justice, and working for peace. Not only is he egotistical, he is without reason when it comes to gun violence, a free press, which is a foundation of democracy, a lack of civility, and a respect for the history to which he will contribute stains and shame. So what do we do? Well, about 30-plus% of the people cheer the president's ugly ways, thinking that his mistakes will make America great again. About 70% of the people think removing the president from his office is the quickest and most gigantic step forward toward making America great again. Citizen involvement is more important than ever. A public that shows the Congress how to move with cooperation rather than partisanship is essential. Common decency is worthy of praise and practice. Honestly, a strong conscience of shared values, courageous steps toward restoring our government, and a will to preserve our democracy are in the hands of the Republican Party. Their patriotic actions in responding severely to the president's irresponsibility is our best hope for a quick change in the nation. I wonder what that party and its president felt this week on the 4th of July. I was weeping for my country and seeking to determine what I must do to help effect change and help usher in a better day. I believe, I need to believe, that the idea and the ideals of America are greater than the forces that challenge her today. There is language in the oath of office that elected officials take which makes reference to enemies, quote, foreign and domestic. I recognize that there are Americans of goodwill who sincerely believe that this country was headed in the wrong direction, so distressing that even the behavior of our current leaders seems to them to be a hopeful change. I know that there are Americans of goodwill who feel that the most moral and patriotic thing they can do right now is resist the agenda of those same leaders and dismissing the people on the other side from whichever side you happen to be on as ignorant and destructive, evil even, demeaning and demonizing them as un-American, as enemies. The idea and the ideals of America were born in a time of great conflict. Let's not forget that. Of great danger, great fear, and great courage. The idea and ideals of America were not created for easygoing times of peace and prosperity. They were created to give freedom and independence a fighting chance at a time of suffering and deprivation. And that's a big part of where hope needs to come from today. So much of the noise we are surrounded by is being created by small people with small ideas. I want to continue struggling to believe that the big ideas that have sustained this great country for so many years will ultimately outlast these current tribulations. But of course, there's no way for that to happen unless as many of us as possible commit to understanding and defending those noble principles beyond politics, beyond party, and beyond personal agendas. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, thank you so much. If you've heard something on this week's show that you think would be helpful to someone you know, please share it with them. Direct them to stateofbelief.com, where they'll find full episodes, an in-depth archive, extended interviews, transcripts, and links mentioned in the show. The community that has grown around State of Belief Radio is active all week long online. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and engage in the discussion. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics, Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That state of belief.
It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.